Here's what Christian teens are saying about music.
A Christian's music standards should be honoring to the Lord.
DBS! In Davis!
Symbolic music is having a great effect on people because if they're not Christians, they're looking for things to fill them. And when you're listening to something over and over again, you start to believe it, to believe it, start to believe it, start to believe it. When you're listening to something over and over again, you start to believe it, believe it, over again, you start to believe it, you start to believe it.
Interested in sponsoring this or any other hour of KDVS programming? If you or your business would like to know more about sponsoring KDVS programming, you can contact the KDVS Underwriting Department at underwriting@kdvs.org.
Hello, this is DJ Ura. I was supposed to be here a while ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. Shout out the past DJ for subbing. I'm still like in the middle of reflecting. I wanted to read an essay today. I wrote, I think last quarter in the spring, and it was about how people often believe the reason why a lot of Hispanic people, more specifically Latinos, are overweight is because of the cultural cuisine that they eat, which is not true. That could be one of the reasons, but that's not the only reason. That's just like putting a blanket statement, and I argued in my essay that that's not true, that there's other factors that play into the reason why the huge amount of obesity and diabetes and diabetic people in the Latino community. More specifically in America, that essay I wrote, Focus in America. But I'm still need to pull out my essay, so I'm just going to play some music. This first song you'll be hearing is called Verde Más Allá by Jenny and the Metzikets. I hope you guys enjoy.
Cuando se decide entrar a un bar, perfumes, Buenos Aires volarán. No te imaginas la que se va a armar bajo su falda. Y ahora estoy riendo, verde.
los aires volarán. No te imaginas lo que se va a armar bajo su falda.
Hello, this is DJ Aura. You're listening to, actually, what is this show called? You're listening to Rum Rum Rum. Usually DJ Drainfield would be here. Unfortunately, they did not. They couldn't make it today. I forgot to mention, happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. I remember me and my mom, we took a trip to, well, it was when we were driving to Nevada, but we were taking the trip to Utah, and we were just listening to, like, the local radio stations there, and one of the stations, the hosts were just talking, and they mentioned how they were talking to someone, and this person, I guess, got upset that they were referring, 4th of July to Independence Day, that you should be saying Independence Day instead of 4th of July. And their argument is, 4th of July happens in any other country. But Independence Day, American Independence Day, can only happen in our country. And I'm like, I don't think it's that much of an issue. I think if, like, something like that makes you upset, I don't know. And I kind of, like, see the other person's side where Mexican Independence Day is on... September 15th, but we don't say September 15th, we just say Independence Day. So I can see, like, kind of his argument, but at the same time, it's just not that, like, it's not that deep. And I think 4th of July has a better ring to it than Independence Day, personally. That's just my opinion. With that, I promise I would read my essay. So that last one you heard before I get into it was Verde Más Allá by Jenny and the Metiquettes. The song you're hearing is called Rosas de Amor by Ermic. Just some instrumental playing in the background. So for context, this essay I wrote about the health disparities in Hispanic communities, more focusing on the fact that the reason why so many Hispanic people are overweight or are diabetic or have all these, like, health issues is not because of the food they eat, mainly focusing on, like, the cultural cuisine, but also because there's other factors that come into play. So with that, let me read this essay. So this is titled Beyond the Plate: The Real Causes of Health Disparities in Hispanic Communities. Despite the misconceptions, the Hispanic community's quote-unquote unhealthiness isn't caused by the food they eat, but instead of because of systemic barriers. This essay argues that the increased frequency of health problems among Hispanics are due to a lack of healthcare access and food availability, not because of their cultural cuisine. There is a lack of culturally informed individuals in the healthcare system who are often unfamiliar with Hispanic cultural practices, which leads to misinformed guidance. Additionally, Hispanic individuals are more likely to live in lower income areas with limited access to healthy food options and an overabundance of fast food restaurants, which further contributes to these issues. Obesity, diabetes, and other heart-related diseases affect many Americans, but they negatively impact ethnic minorities far more. Quote, diabetes have a major adverse impact on life years and quality adjusted life years in all U.S. subpopulations, with an even greater impact among minority individuals, including Hispanics. End quote. Obesity is also a major issue when it comes to ethnic minorities. Quote, in 2005, blacks and the greatest proportion of obese persons, blacks had the greatest proportion of obese persons, followed by Hispanics. Especially in lower income areas, Latino children are at greater risk for being overweight than any other race. These health issues could be caused by many things. However, many Hispanic and non-Hispanic individuals believe the cause of this is because of their cultural cuisine. A study was conducted asking individuals about their thoughts on why obesity is so prevalent in these areas. According to the study, some of them mentioned culturally determined food choices, such as rice, beans, fried food, in Hispanic families as a contributor to obesity. With that, I think, and there was also more, I'm just like breaking out of like the essay. There was also a lot more I wanted to include to this essay, but I had to like cut it short at 6 pages. But this study also mentioned how, with the cultural food thing, that Hispanic people tend to overseason, and that also leads to a lot of like sodium levels, which also leads to heart issues. And yeah, that could be the thing, but again, this essay argues that's not the only reason why. So let me keep reading. Well, it's suggested that traditional Hispanic cuisine is the reasoning for these health problems. The more overlooked issue is the unequal health care that disproportionately affects these communities. Within the past decade, the Hispanic population has dramatically increased, with 37 million individuals accounting for 12.5% of the U.S. population. As the community has grown, so has the ranks of its uninsured. quote, across all age groups, Hispanics are substantially more likely than non-Hispanic whites or African Americans to lack health insurance. Furthermore, just 43% of Hispanic families have employer-sponsored insurance, which is much lower than the national average of 64%. One may argue that perhaps these Hispanic individuals are not working or work for companies that provide insurance. However, according to Dottie, in our employer-based health insurance system, a key reason why so many Hispanics lack health insurance is not that they do not work, but rather that their employers do not offer them coverage. This is the primary reason why many Hispanics are uninsured. Nonetheless, more than half of these households only have one member who works full-time year-round. And it can be like, well, that's why like a lot of people tend to say like, oh, it's because you guys are not working hard enough or whatever. But it's just because a lot of employers take advantage of Hispanic people knowing that they'll do anything to provide their family, so they don't even offer employer insurance. Continuing on. Even if Hispanics have access to healthcare, many healthcare providers are not culturally competent, and there's often a language barrier between them and their patients. Quote, once Hispanics gain access to the healthcare system, they have more difficulty than non-Hispanic whites or African Americans. And I just want to make sure that the background music's still playing. Where was I? Understanding that doctors tell them, once Hispanics gain access to the healthcare system, they have more difficulty than non-Hispanics, whites, or African Americans understanding what doctors tell them and comprehending written health information. many doctors do not speak Spanish or are Hispanic, with Hispanics only making up 5.8% of physicians in America, not just doctors, physicians in total. Because of this, many healthcare providers require a translator to help understand their patients. A majority of nurses, in fact, 82%, have low-level Spanish proficiency and rely on professional interpreters to educate their parents. However, these nurses frequently use their own Spanish skills in information-based situations, such as medicine distribution. This may be a leading factor of why over half the Spanish-speaking Hispanic population have difficulties understanding prescription bottle instructions and printed health information from the doctor's office. And it's mainly because these nurses who cannot speak Spanish just try to use their own Spanish. And, like, kudos to you for trying, but at the same time, like, this is really important information that can help save people's lives. And if you don't educate them correctly, then they don't know how to take their medicine. So, doctors are not the only individuals that aren't culturally sensitive enough, but also dietitians. Dietitians play an important part in providing nutrition, education, and counseling to those at risk of diet-related conditions, and such strategies need to be aware of cultural practices in cuisine. However, according to the Zipia article, Registered Dietitian Demographics and Statistics in the United States, it states that, quote, the most common ethnicity of registered dietitians is white, with 66.9%. A study was conducted that examined 15 different dietitians, of which two-thirds were self-identified as white, and asked them their experiences in promoting healthy diets among Hispanic Caribbean clients in New York City. When asked about the personal barrier, a dietitian commented, I don't know if they would be as likely to take my advice because I don't look like them, I don't speak their language, I don't understand their lifestyle. Another roadblock of these dietitians face was having little to no experience with Hispanic Caribbean cuisine, with many admitting they dislike the food or they don't understand the familiar cultural values behind numerous dishes. And obviously, you know, this number keeps increasing with Hispanic dietitians, and that's a good thing. Or there's dietitians who are learning cultural foods, but I know a lot of universities don't even offer classes that teach cultural cuisine, or they don't make it a mandatory class. It's just like an optional class you could take for those who are studying nutrition. And I feel like there should be one. That's my personal opinion. Speaking of which, the following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KBS sponsors, or the University of California. Lucky for other mention that, but again, this is just my personal opinion, nothing to do with KBS sponsors or UC. But again, that number just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. Let's keep reading. A further significant issue impacting Hispanic health is a lack of necessary resources. Many diabetic patients in low-income communities have limited access to insulin for a variety of reasons. Insulin is a life-saving medicine for people with type 1 diabetes and also is used to manage individuals with type 2 diabetes. Without this necessary drug, it can lead to severe complications such as blindness, amputation, and even premature death. Therefore, access to insulin is critical. However, quote, studies in 2009 by the Individual Insulin Foundation in 7 low-income areas found a variety of barriers to insulin access, including high prices. The average cost of insulin dramatically increased within the past decade. This cost alone without insurance is a very high cost. But without insurance, and as previously mentioned, Hispanics have a greater rate of diabetic uninsured individuals, requiring them to pay an outrageous price of out-of-pocket just to survive. I feel like I know in other countries insulin has no price at all, and I think it is evil to think that how in America we charge, like, companies can charge whatever they want. They can charge a huge number, and people would still pay it because they need it to survive. Okay, I'm almost done. I was like, wait, hold on. Okay. We have 9 more minutes. Hopefully we finish this. If not, I'll just like give a quick read back. Okay. In addition to the challenges of obtaining insulin, Hispanics also face barriers in accessing nutritious food, which leads to food insecurity. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, food insecurity is defined as a household-level economic and social condition of limited or uncertain access to adequate food. Hispanics have also shown a higher rate of food insecurity, with 42% of Hispanic Latino youth experience health food insecurity and 33% child food insecurity. Moreover, 10% live in a very low food secure household. Researchers have found because of this limited access to food, it may be contributing to obesity in children. Quote, evidence indicates that children from more food insecure households have a lower body mass index, yet also a higher BMI due to diets and low nutritional value, a risk factor of obesity. This study conducted by PAPAS, food insecurity increases the odds of obesity among young Hispanic children, showed that low food security increased the likelihood of child obesity by tenfold, while extremely low food insecurity increased the risk by 30-fold. And that's just like a really sad fact. The question now is, why is this the case? One may assume that lower food insecurity would cause children and families to consume fewer calories, right? However, the reality is that food insecurity often leads to families relying on cheaper and nutritionally poor food options. Studies have shown that unhealthier foods such as chips were far less expensive than healthy foods such as fruits and vegetables. Even if lower income communities could afford to purchase healthier foods, studies have shown that, quote, minority and low income communities have fewer than average supermarkets and convenience stores that stock fresh, good quality, affordable foods. With fewer supermarkets available, many families rely on bodegas and corner stores to feed themselves. I call them liquor stores personally, but I just said corner stores in this essay. To feed themselves. And many of these stores offer less healthful foods. Additionally, a vast majority of these local shops charge more for healthier food selections targeting less educated individuals. Quote, one study reported that although low-fat milk was available in more than two-thirds of bodegas in areas where residents were less educated, had lower incomes, and were Latino, some stores charge far more for low-fat milk than regular milk. And they do this on purpose, knowing that most Hispanic individuals don't really know the difference between the two different milks. And low-fat milk obviously has less fat than regular milk. Or they charge more for produce, or they charge more for I know the one I live has, you can, like, cut meat. They charge more for that, rather than just, the chips and soda someone else was gonna get. And they usually have deals on, like, chips and soda, too. If you get a bag of chips, you can get a soda for half off, whatever. But beyond the exploitative tactics of these corner stores, fast food restaurants also prey upon food-insecure, low-income Hispanic families. They specifically target these families, an article stating, quote, a higher prevalence of soda/fast food advertisements were located in neighborhoods with higher proportion Black/Hispanic and lower income. Because of this intensive marketing, Hispanic women in low-income households reported, quote, the overabundance of fast food restaurants and their intensive marketing interfered with their ability to exercise control over their children's eating habits. Another study was conducted where researchers took note of the various types of advertisements shown in a subway that was located in the Bronx, which is in New York, a highly low-income, minority-populated area. They found that more than a third of the stations have advertisements for less healthful foods or beverages, with 39%. Had such ads in Spanish, and that was the only foreign language they observed. And more than a third, 39%, had less healthful food ads featuring minorities. Yikes. To conclude, the health disparities faced by Hispanic communities are far more complex than the culture of food they eat. Systemic barriers such as unequal access to healthcare and nutritious food play a significant role in the numerous health issues Hispanics have. The lack of culturally insensitive healthcare providers, such as dietitians and physicians, further stresses these problems. Another reason that can cause these health concerns is that Hispanic families are forced to rely on fast food restaurants and corner stores to exploit their food insecurity. Finally, the high rates of uninsured Hispanics significantly impact their ability to access life-saving drugs such as insulin, which could lead to severe health complications. Addressing these disparities requires a comprehensive approach, such as destroying the idea that Hispanic cuisine is the reason for their decline in health. Using blanket statements like this not only harms Hispanic families and their cultural practices, but doesn't solve any underlying issue. Simply put, the issue goes beyond the plate, and necessary systemic changes are required to solve the many health problems Hispanic face. And I like my last sentence because issues go beyond the plate, and this essay is called Beyond the Plate. But that's my final paper for last quarter. I took this class, Chicano Studies 110. It was like sociology and Chicano studies or something like that. And the topic I chose was health/healthcare inequality. I got a 90% on this paper. I think I just repeated myself a lot in this paper, but I think that's still a pretty good grade personally. And again, this is not just an only issue in Hispanic communities. This issue is prevalent in other communities. I know for sure in the Pacific Islander community, they also have a huge obesity problem, and it's because, especially in Hawaii, because of all the tourism they get, it low-key ruined the economy. It ruined the agriculture, ruined basically everything in Hawaii. And because of this, and especially since a lot of Pacific Islander cuisine involves quote-unquote unhealthy food. For example, Spam. Spam is a canned meat. Has high sodium. Genuinely concerned. A lot of people say this is unhealthy. But most of the time, this is the only thing a lot of people can afford. Including eggs, etc. I know in Mexico for sure, there's people who could afford Coca-Cola, but can't afford a bottle of water. And that's crazy to think. And the reason why is because a lot of Coca-Cola's plants, I should say, where they make the soda. Factories, that's the word. Factories are in Mexico. And because of this, there's more access to soda than water. And people are choosing to say, I can't afford to drink water, so I'm going to drink soda instead. I think that's kind of... I don't think that should be happening. But with that, that concludes this episode of Rum Rum Rum. We're going to transition to DJ Carico's show, Cara Cara Bazaar? Cara Cara Bazaar. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.
Interested in sponsoring this or any other hour of KDVS programming? If you or your business would like to know more about sponsoring KDVS programming, you can contact the KDVS Underwriting Department at underwriting@kdvs.org.